Today, of course, is a memory day, and we, as a nation, remember those who gave their lives in the military. But as a church, we may, meaning no disrespect to military veterans, also speak of those we remember who've been part of other struggles. Struggles in Unitarian Universalism, struggles in human being. And two dear friends of mine are people who died in the past year, one just 2 years ago this week, and one in the past year. Nancy Schaefer, whose writings CJ read from, is a colleague, a dear friend from Michigan, who at age 59 was diagnosed with a brain tumor that after surgery came back, and at age, just about age 60, she died. And Jack Mendelson lived a long life, and Jack was a mentor of mine. And so I'm going to read just a little and share a little bit from each of them. And in some ways, it's Jack's framing of this liberal religious experiment that we're part of that sets the agenda for this morning. Jack, who served in Indianapolis and Chicago and Greater Boston, Jack, who was the president of the UU Ministers Association, and who, with a young Bill Schultz, who spoke here a month ago, as his campaign manager, was a candidate for president of the UUA, and in a highly contested three-way split, lost by fewer than 40 votes. But Jack, as the person who wrote my letter of introduction to the Unitarian Universalist Association many years ago, when we were talking about the possibility of me becoming a UU minister. And Jack shares four basic assumptions about his liberal theology. And I'll share these four statements and then expand on them a little bit. You've heard these before. I am life that wills to live in the midst of life that wills to live. Separating the essential from the non-essential is what I call being spiritual. Power, ethically understood, is the ability to achieve moral purpose. And nothing is settled. Balance is blessedness. To think about the question of I am life that wills to live in the midst of life that wills to live, I'm turning to Nancy. And Nancy's book, While Still There Is Light, was just published last week. I was the first person on the block to get my copy. Nancy wrote this book beginning when she learned that she had this brain tumor. And she said, there's something to be shared with everybody who has to live a life that has difficulties in it. And I may be learning something now, and I don't want to lose it. And so, not knowing the end, except in a general way, she knew that she had something to share about getting some bad news. First words. Nick tells me the first thing I asked after surgery was, does God know it's over? I don't remember asking that, but I do remember being aware I'd been in the most intense spiritual experience of my life, and I didn't want to miss any of it. I kept looking up at a box of audio sorts of paraphernalia near the ceiling of the room I was in, thinking the blinking lights were related to an interview that would be starting soon. What I remember saying is something like this: "Somebody, get me Krista Tippett. I've just had a primary spiritual experience." I've already decided what it should be called and what level of importance it held. She needs to hear this. I've got things to talk about. I meant the being held in love, the entire tunnel of love, and wondering whether the whole team felt held in love, and whether we'd altered the course of neurosurgery by holding the team and me in love. Surely, this was all food for a Sunday morning conversation with Krista while thousands got ready for church. On so many days, I had been part of those thousands, soaking in the words from Wendell Berry and Sandy Eisenberg Sasso, Yehia Labadidi. I had something to add. "Florist." A man's gruff voice. "Is anybody home?" Well, no, I'm recovering from neurosurgery at University Hospital. Instantly, I realized I should have screened that call, but I felt relatively rested and was curious. I did not recognize the number, but thought it was no one with whom I should not speak. "I've got flowers to deliver to you." Suddenly, I understand he's a florist right now at my house, trying to deliver an order. "Can you take them over to my neighbor?" "You mean just give them?" Yes, I had meant that. Give them to someone else to enjoy since I'm not at home. "Lady, I can't do that. You can't leave them for my neighbor?" "You mean across the street?" "No, the next house to the west." It's hard to visualize where the house is in relation to the hospital, but the city, the neighborhood in which I live, is west of Detroit and east of Chicago. My neighbor is closer to Chicago than I. "The people with the goose on the front porch?" "Yes," I say, meaning not a live goose wandering, but the large, white-painted plastic one. "Then, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave them here on your steps." I have visions of broken glass and strewn tulips over 10 yards. Someone comes home at dusk to feed the cats or bring in the mail, doesn't see them, opens a screen door to go in and breaks everything. It's a dangerous mess. But I get it. My parents are sending me flowers. They are thankful they will not be sending them to my funeral. They are splurging everything now, these for you. Nothing to do. I say goodbye. Lie back. The neighborhood will have tulips blooming on concrete steps in an elegant vase for at least a few hours. Without glasses. It takes a lot for me to remember I'm not wearing glasses. I am scribbling this as quick hieroglyph in shadows well past midnight, without aid of tempered and slightly curved glass held near my eyes by expensive curved wires. My brain is figuring out what to do anyway. I thought it would. Nancy was a minister. She loved ministry, but mostly I think she loved the effects of ministry. She loved the result of thinking about something, and then writing about something, and then delivering something. These were her great contributions to liberal religion. The words of encouragement that she delivered, the prayers that she gave, the meditations that were collected into a meditation manual that she published, that we published in the UUA about 10 years ago. Words that proclaimed, in spite of so many evidences, the beauty of living. Her soul searching was about her own role, involved among the living in proclaiming life, in asserting love, in speculating about God. I remember more than a few tender moments in our support group, eyes meeting eyes, where she had just the right word of encouragement for any of us as we tried to be the ministers that could be alive, proclaiming life among the living. She knew that she could tell what was most important. Jack Mendelsohn says separating the essential from the inessential is what he calls being spiritual. And I think of all of the stories that people tell about Jack, not just the stories of him accompanying Jesse Jackson to Syria, not just his meetings with Fidel Castro, who always called him professor, said to me to say hi to the professor. But Jack is most known for being the person who welcomed people to the Arlington Street Church in the middle of General Assembly, when General Assembly was in the midst of a contentious struggle about how best to express our desire for the full equality of black folk, not only in the world, but in Unitarian Universalism. For Jack, the fight to achieve full equality for black folk was essential. And perhaps the non-essential of it was exactly the mechanism to arrive at it. At a time, we had tried integration. Integration had long been our essential model for how black equality might be found. But by the late 60s, Jack was willing to listen to folks who said, actually, black folk needed an independent voice, and a voice within, yes, but an independent voice. And that as the denomination grappled with how to deal with the restructuring of our society, with the suburbanization of our society, the abandonment of the inner city, maybe white folk, rather than stepping in and being so proud of the gifts that we could give, maybe we could step back and say, no strings attached, you, black Unitarian Universalists, you tell us what we need to do, and we'll fund it. We'll make it happen. And we'll even have the confidence in you to let you meet without us, to let you make a decision without us being present in the room. And the whole period of several years of struggle around whether the historic model of integration might be replaced with a model of black empowerment, is how it was called, was a very difficult moment in the life of Unitarian Universalism, as it was in the life of many religious communities. Jack was a person who invited the people who were feeling dissed, the people who were feeling disempowered, the people who were feeling angry. Jack invited them to sit at Arlington Street Church, just a few blocks from the Park Plaza Hotel, to just sit with one another and to imagine together what the next steps might be. Jack was one who was willing to go back and forth, up and down the street, between two bodies, to find a way to figure out what in this moment is essential. Separating The non-essential from the essential is what he called being spiritual. And in that moment and in that time, being the best ally he could was the way he found the spirituality of separation in the context of yet being one community. It was about power, of course. It was about who had the power to make certain financial challenges of one another and who had the power to deliver on it. And his third piece says, power ethically understood is the ability to achieve moral purpose. Theodore Parker in the 19th century made this promise to his congregation in West Roxbury: I will preach nothing of religion as I have not experienced inwardly and made my own. In other words, I think he's saying, I will experience religion inwardly and make it my own before I will ask you to have this religious experience and demand that you make it your own. And so when I preach of my life with Jack, I have to preach kind of personally. And I hope you will allow this. I think it comes out of a rich tradition. Jack asked me this question: David, you got to tell me, what kind of a minister do you want to be? He said, I've seen you as a cultural worker. I know you teach singing. You've got your own studio above the Steinway Piano Place downtown. I know you're a song leader. I've seen you at church and in rallies. I know you're an actor and a singer with a touring political theater company, and I know you've got an equity card somewhere there. I've seen you as a union supporter on picket lines, at teach-ins, and in solidarity marches. I've known you as an internationalist who's been on a concert tour to India and who performed at a peace festival in Soviet Azerbaijan and who made a documentary in Armenia and who led the American House of Culture in North Korea for a week at an international festival. All these things that you do are the kinds of things that Unitarian Universalist ministers do. But tell me, what kind of a minister do you want to be? And if you want to be a guy in blue jeans with a protest sign, you can do that and be a very happy Unitarian Universalist minister, and maybe even be effective. But you know who I am, he said? I've always wanted to be a minister who can make things happen, who can, on a moment's notice, speak to the media, who can pick up the phone and actually get through to the mayor, who can walk downtown into a law firm or a bank or a university and can speak in a way that the powers that be recognize means something. It was Jack who talked to me about the ethics of power, of social power, and who said that power is existing everywhere and you get a choice. Either let it roll you over or stand up and find the power that has the capacity to speak to the big power. Jack introduced me to congregation-based community organizing, not just as a way of serving the needs of the community, but a way of building power to alter the needs of the community, not just to respond collectively, but to actually change the community's response, because the community itself feels that it has a right to be respected, feels it has the power to get something done, knows it has the capacity to change things. And so Jack said, you need to learn to wear a suit. You need to learn to speak powerfully. And you need to have your congregation behind you. Because too many Unitarian Universalist ministers are out there making noise, but they don't have anybody at their back. And it's just noise. And so Jack introduced me to congregation-based community organizing, was part of organizing a powerful organization in Boston, was encouraging me when I went to Michigan to create another organization. And when I was telling him I was on my way to Baltimore, he asked questions about how this congregation was not just saying the right things, but actually finding ways to be organized with other people to make change happen. I want to just share a couple of more quotations as we think about nothing is settled. Nothing is settled. Balance is blessedness. Of course, we need to act as if things are settled. We need to make concrete choices that imagine that we're actually stepping from place to place on things that are finally settled. But the framing of our choices in liberal religion is a framing that accepts as provisional our understanding of things as they are, or better, as things seem to be. Jack reaches for a definition of God that expresses both his sense of how blessed existence is and his understanding of the holy. God is both transcendent as creativity and immanent as the creative event. God, in brief, is the glorious sum of the living process in which I as a person and we as a human community live and strive and die. God is the existence I share with all that is or is to be. God is being lifted to the utmost limits of my spiritual insight and exertion. As genuine as my own nature and as boundless as my most imaginative hope for spiritual enlightenment. With every deepening of my insight, with every strengthening of my moral will, with every expansion of my understanding of truth, with every experience of beloved community, God is better known to me, more reverently loved, more personally and profoundly experienced. Nancy Schaeffer speaks about the ending of her journey. New status. I notice on the last day I am employed by the Ann Arbor Church as an associate minister, as my sweet psyche figures out next what it needs to do. One, write what I will say in a final gratitude event with the congregation. Two, write a poem for a friend who has died too soon. Three, in preparation for moving, clean out files not used in 3 years since my last move. The file work goes easily. UU history, early church, New Testament, mystical Judaism, polity, new member welcome, board support ideas, leadership styles, congregational leadership, Sufism, except then I see it's really all about Rumi, and I grab that one back. What is clear to me is how much I am now a writer. What matters is to keep my writings. I can reinvent the rest. I can look it up online. I can find current books more detailed and accurate than the notes I painstakingly took many years ago. What I can't find in someone else's book is my own writing, which emerges out of me. I am no longer a congregation's minister. I am a source. I am an inventor. I am a writer. I want no files that do not begin with my own knowing. Worthy learning out of a single weekend I had anticipated mostly as heartbreak. I notice my joy in writing. Notice I am good at writing. When she arrives in California, she writes, love as the sum. This is what I think about the sum of the world being love. It isn't in any usual daily experiences for most people. But it is the way through, the way out, when mayhem and hard things happen. Love isn't usually method, but it is often conscious process after unconscious, or could have been avoided, hurting. Nancy died on June 5th in 2011. Her parents held her. Her longtime caregiver stood at her side. Her minister read her the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. At her memorial service, her memorial day. These words from the second part of the poem CJ read to open our time, Calling, Part 2. I began to understand calling more fully. It has little to do with ministry itself, everything to do with the sacred. It is not about serving a particular denomination or even congregation, but being in the world who I was created to be, like standing on the stage of the universe and saying yes to God alone and not a particular mountain range or river. After that, what possibly can go wrong? Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Jack. What is remembered lives. Amen.